Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You know, things are getting tense in the country when the U.S. Department of State warns Americans against traveling there. For some intrepid travelers vacationing in failed states, nations at war or in revolt, or those deemed unfriendly to America, is a draw. Whether it's skiing in the Afghan mountains, getting a glimpse of the war in Syria, or being one of the few to get into North Korea, a growing number of adventure travelers find courting danger more enticing than relaxing at an all-inclusive resort. Freelance writer Deborah Kamin profiled the rise of unlikely tourist destinations for the Atlantic. We reached her in between air raid sirens from Israel via Skype. Deborah, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Well, it's funny. We're speaking to you from Israel, where you have a front row seat to a conflict that the whole world is watching. But even before this violence began, you noticed a growing number of tourists in the Golan Heights in Israel's northern border. What were they coming to see?
They were coming to see the Syrian civil war. And it's very funny because I worked on this piece for several months, long before this conflict broke out. And at the time, Israel was touted as this peaceful, wonderful place, and tourists were coming just to watch conflict across the border. So it's interesting how things have changed.
So groups of tourists would go up and look at what was going on, the fighting over what is it called, the gateway to Damascus up there in the Golan Heights. What's the draw for the spectators?
I think the appeal of being as close as possible to a massive world story, but also having total safety. So it's this dichotomy of looking at something that's so dangerous, but where you are protected on the other side of the border, near all these beautiful wineries and apple orchards. It's the combination of the two that people find very enticing and very thrilling. Hmm. And it's a great story for a cocktail party or for your Facebook page when you get home. People love it.
I guess thrill being the operative word here. Yeah. What are some of the other active conflict zones where you found out that adventurous tourists are signing up to visit?
Pretty much anywhere where you can go and come close to blood, there's people who follow. There's people who are going to Ukraine to see what's going on there. There's people who are very interested in going to Afghanistan and sitting in the house of people who may or may not be the Taliban. It's really fascinating how this appeal of being close to the news, but also being curious yourself and discovering the news on your own, is really driving the tourism industry.
Well, war isn't new. How about this war tourism industry?
It's as old as war itself, absolutely. As long as there have been battles, there have been people gathering to watch the battles. You know, we hear stories about Gettysburg and the armies as they were marching were followed by people who wanted to watch. The difference is now that it's actually being commercialized and packaged. That's the real change, that the tourism industry is picking up on this and trying to make a dollar from it.
Why do you think there's such an increase right now? Is it that so many spots are in turmoil?
I think it's a combination of two factors. I think it's the massive infiltration of social media, so everyone feels that they can be a citizen journalist and be close to conflict. And it's also the way the tourism industry itself is changing. It used to be if you wanted to go on vacation, you had to go through an agent and they were in control of booking your tickets and your hotel. And now people are really in control of their own vacations. They book their own airfare. They choose where they want to go. They can do their own price comparison. And in order to stay competitive, the tourism industry has become more creative. And this is one of the ways we're seeing it happen.
One of the most exotic destinations for adventure tourists is now North Korea. Now, this is a trip that Vice magazine highlighted in its documentary, The Vice Guide to Travel, North Korea. Here's just a clip from the documentary.
So we went out on a night on the town in Pyongyang with our guards, which is good because the guards weren't enjoying us as human beings. Today, they threatened Jamie, who's filming this, with gross and sensitive crimes to the Republic or something?
Right. Criminal offenses.
Criminal offenses.
Which would have severe repercussions.
Yeah. All we had to do was buy like 6 bottles of blueberry wine and everybody was fine. Except
you talked a little bit about the attraction. I wonder also about travel programs that have gotten more and more extreme in their depictions of where to go and where to find your thrills.
Absolutely. I really think the two go hand in hand. The more extreme travel programs on TV go, the more extreme the average tourist who watches those programs becomes in their own travel. And North Korea, it's a perfect place for people to want to travel to because it's so off the beaten path. It's so far away from anything we know. And that's also why it makes good TV.
Deborah Kamin is a writer living in Israel, and she profiled a growing number of travel agencies and operators catering to war tourism, the kind of thrill seekers and spectators deliberately vacationing in and around active conflict zones. Well, obviously there's a danger, but how about some of the ethical concerns surrounding war tourism?
It's a great question, and it's a question I brought up with every single operator that I interviewed. They all feel, and it's their own opinion, they feel that one of the best ways to teach people about a broader worldview and actually to improve the ethics of travel is to take people to areas that are off the beaten path, that are not getting travel dollars, that are often misrepresented by the media. So in their mind, they're actually promoting ethical travel at the most intimate level.
But at the same time, profiteering off of witnessing the misery of others.
It's true. It's really, you know, the way you look at it. And when there is misery going on, there's also civilians who've lost out, who are in desperate need of Americans willing to purchase their wares and invite other friends to come and see their where they live. So it really goes both ways. You could argue either side very passionately and very effectively.
Deborah, do you think as the push for more extreme travel experiences to, you know, talk about at the water cooler or cocktail party widens, do you think this trend is going to get bigger?
I absolutely do. It's already getting bigger. It's still, like I said, a very, very small portion of the industry, but the rate at which it's growing is huge. It's almost doubling every year. So when you have something growing that quickly and gaining that much steam, and you also have media programs like Parts Unknown by Anthony Bourdain and Vice, people are going to follow and the money is going to follow.
Deborah Kamin, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Deborah Kamin is a freelance writer. She's living in Israel. Her article, The Rise of Dark Tourism, was published in The Atlantic. You'll find a link to read it for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.